Hi, welcome to First Press Church Podcast. At the end of this message, please take a moment to subscribe to this podcast channel or our YouTube channel for the latest Sunday messages. We're so glad to have you be a part of our worship from afar. It is our prayer that this message will ignite a fire in your spirit for a closer walk with God.
Has anything ever happened to you that required a quick response that you didn't expect? Now, some of you are like, yeah, I drive a car, you know, okay. My wife Cassie and I are hiking in Rocky Mountain National Park one day years ago, and this thunderhead comes over us faster than you can imagine. And on top of that, the thunderhead produced rain. Not a big deal. You get wet. The thunderhead began to produce lightning, like intense lightning that made us terrified. So we looked around, we found a big boulder, and it looked like there was some sort of little thing we could kind of scurry up in. In hindsight, oh, that was probably made by an animal. But we followed suit, or the previous hikers, you know, the last time the thunderhead came through. And so there we are, we're up under the rock, and we are hoping that that's sufficient to not get zapped, okay? And I shared this story. You know, we're at the 11 o'clock. Earlier, a gentleman came up. He's like, I actually did get hit by lightning. And then our own Matt Holtzman taps me on the shoulder as I'm walking over here. He's like, I got hit. Well, I didn't get hit by lightning. My car did. He was 12 years old going down the highway. And it, like, he said, like, it just shot the bolts out of the wheels and killed the transmission. Just, you know, so you never know. Things happen in life that you have to react to the best you can. And sometimes you just find yourself crying out, I need a little help. And I'm feeling like that a little bit this morning, and I'll tell you why in just a minute. But I think I need your help. And so I'm hoping that you would be willing and excited to say, yes, Michael, we will extend to you our help during this time of sermon. Okay. Is that, can we help each other? Can you help me? Can you help me? All right. So here's the thing, because today is My Part Sunday, and today is also Pentecost, and today is also the conclusion to the Higher Sermon Series, and it lands on Memorial Day weekend. If you were to enroll in a preaching class this summer, probably week one would be, don't ever let this happen to you, where you are going to try to weave together all these themes just so wonderfully. But we're going to do it together. And we're going to play a little homiletical jujitsu is what it feels like. But we're going to do it. We are headed toward the My Part Sunday consecration moment, which is just a special time. We've done it 3 years now on Pentecost Sunday where we can bring our cards. They should be in the seat backs in front of you. Forward to the front and just say, hey, I get it. The Lord has brought me to First Pres. I want to be a part of this body serving. I understand that as we all contribute together serving in different places, we are stronger, we are healthier, we are more ready to accomplish God's mission for us at First Press. So we're headed there. And I'm just going to mention it briefly, but truly, deeply, Memorial Day weekend that Dave has already shared about, we have the table over in the Commons. My mind immediately starts to think of my dad's dad that landed on Omaha Beach, Normandy, D-Day, but he came home. My mom's dad flew a bomber, piloted a bomber up and over the Himalaya, the hump, time and time again, but he came home. And Memorial Day weekend is really about, as Dave shared earlier, you know, those of us, our brothers and sisters who did not and will not come home. And so trying to shift that into focus for us as a congregation, wanting to lean into our national holidays appropriately. It's not just a time to barbecue. This is a really somber moment of reflection and gratitude. So in our higher series now, we've been working through and walking through, we've been watching King David bring the Ark of the Covenant into Jerusalem. And he's had some hiccups along the way. Not everybody made it in a very sober sense. Go back to week one. What has been in King David's heart that he has wanted to establish the Ark in Jerusalem? The Ark has represented what? The very presence of God. the very power of God. God said, I will allow my presence to settle in upon the Ark of the Covenant, knowing that one day my presence is going to be unleashed far beyond the Ark. The last three Sundays in particular, we've been looking at a psalm. Essentially, this is King David's prayer or praise of response. The Ark has arrived in Jerusalem. And for our primary text, I'm only going to read right now the final three verses of this psalm, beginning in 1 Chronicles chapter 16, starting in verse 34. David writes, "Give thanks to the Lord, for he is good. His love endures forever. Cry out, save us, God our Savior. Gather us, deliver us from the nations, that we may give thanks to your holy name and glory in your praise. Praise be to the Lord, the God of Israel, from everlasting to everlasting." And then all of the people said, "Amen," and "Praise the Lord." Brothers and sisters, this is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. In the strongest years of Israel's national life, King David establishes worship to the one true God. What do you do? I mean, when life gets easy, when everything is, all the chips have finally aligned, what is your default posture to enter into in that moment? We finally arrived to a three-day holiday weekend. What King David does at the height of his reign, national life, Jerusalem is secure and safe. The Ark has arrived in Jerusalem, and he writes a psalm of praise. And he leads all of Israel to focus on true and proper worship to God. I think that's remarkable. I love that King David, whose heart just loves the Lord, he's by no means perfect. He's in every way flawed, just like you and me. He had his great particularities, but his heart is always full of contrition, wanting to turn back to God, wanting to surrender to God. King David takes worship so seriously, and so can we, and so should we, because God alone is worthy. And King David role models a life that says that serving the Lord is the natural reaction to being saved by the Lord. And I want to put this up on the screen as our main idea for today, and that's this. Lives that are saved naturally become lives marked by empowered service. Today in the church calendar, we come to Pentecost Sunday, the moment we remember in church history when God sends down his Spirit upon his people to do what? To fill them up, to empower them to go forth on God's mission. So when Jesus says, "I'm giving you the Great Commission, I'm giving you a task, go into all the earth, make disciples everywhere, teach them to obey everything I have commanded you." And then he says, "And I will be with you." One of the ways that "with you" is fulfilled is through the coming of the Holy Spirit. In fact, Jesus will later say, don't even start this commission. I've given you a commission. Don't even start it yet. Step one, wait. Wait. After I ascend to the Father, wait, because I am going to send you a helper. Don't do this on your own. Don't try to do life on your own. I'm going to send you a helper. We find ourselves living in the Pentecost era. So we don't live in the era of King David in our First Chronicles series. We don't live in that era of having a nation state that is God's and God's alone and God gathering a people to herald that a Messiah will be coming. We don't live in the time of the prophets when all the prophecy is coming out to walk in righteousness toward the Lord and to wait for the coming of the Messiah. Nor do we live inside the life of Jesus. We don't live when Jesus was walking around in his earthly ministry and performing his miracles there, nor do we live like on the other side. What's going to be coming very soon is the second coming of Christ and the establishment of the new Jerusalem, when nations will no longer war against nations because God will establish a perfect city of God here on earth and wipe away every tear and every eye. Right now, we're in this sliver in human history of the Pentecost era when the Holy Spirit has been poured out. It's a season of grace. It's a season of grace for the saving of all the children of God. And it starts, it initiates on Pentecost. So there's an image in my head about what it might have been like to be waiting for the Holy Spirit. If you ever watch a race, a foot race, and you have all the runners lined up and they're getting down ready to go, and they're waiting on that pistol to shoot, to fire. And I had to look up, I was like, what is that called? It's actually called the starter, and the starter pistol. You guys are smarter than I am. And so the runners are lined up and they're waiting. Wait for the coming of the Holy Spirit. And then we find in Acts 1:8, but you will receive power when the Holy Spirit comes on you. And you will be my witnesses in Jerusalem and in Judea and Samaria and to the ends of the earth. A few verses later in Acts, beginning in chapter 2, the text continues, when the day of Pentecost came, they were all together in one place, and suddenly a sound like the blowing of a violent wind came from heaven and filled the whole house where they were sitting. They saw what seemed to be tongues of fire that separated and came to rest on each of them. All of them were filled with the Holy Spirit and began to speak in other tongues as the Holy Spirit enabled them. I would have loved to be in that room, waiting, waiting, waiting. When the day of Pentecost came, pop! The Holy Spirit descends on God's people, and the Great Commission is now empowered to be fulfilled. The church comes alive in the power of the Holy Spirit to bear witness to the coming of the Lord, to bear witness to the majesty of God, to bear witness to what had just taken place, the life, the death, the resurrection, the ascension of Jesus Christ. We get to now join God's mission to seek and to save the lost. Pentecost. All right, I'm going to hit the pause button, Pentecost Sunday. Remember I told you homiletical jujitsu? And you guys are helping me, so like this is on you now. We are turning. We're going back to 1 Chronicles chapter 16. Are you with me? We're together? Okay, praise God. 1 Chronicles 13 to 16 concludes with King David commissioning the worship of Yahweh in Jerusalem. And when we arrive at verse 37, we find these words where David is establishing for the permanent continuous worship. It goes like this. David left Asaph and his associates before the Ark of the Covenant of the Lord to minister there regularly according to each day's requirements. He also left Obed-Edom and his 68 associates to minister with them. Obed-Edom, son of Jeduthun, and also Hosa were the gatekeepers. Now, if you're scratching your head right now, what is that? Funny names, what's going on? All to say, King David is establishing for the regular practice of worship in Jerusalem of a very specific kind. Later on in verse 40, there's this very important clause that says, in accordance with everything written in the law of the Lord. If you remember back to week one of the series, that's when everything went wrong. They were trying to bring the ark. We're going to study the ark. Don't do that. That was not in accordance with everything written in the law of the Lord. So many times you and I, we try to live life in our own accordance instead of in the accordance with everything written in the law of the Lord. So we say, you know, I love the Lord. But for me, the way I'm going to worship the Lord is like this and like this and like this without ever looking into, has God actually established a way for God's people to lift God higher. We're in this, everything in our series, we're trying to say, God intends for his people to be serious about their worship of him in the right sort of way. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom, we've said almost every week. We've said it's so important that as our hearts are trained in worship, to enter into worship with reverence and a desire to truly worship the Lord on his terms, not on our terms. And what we see in this narrative of King David is that he finally came to realize, let me do this in accordance with everything written in the law of the Lord. So there's a central practical application piece for us. We're headed into summer, June, July, August. We can start to have a moment of self-examination to say, what are my patterns? What are my accordances? How is it that I worship the Lord? What does my calendar look like? What does it mean to prioritize my faith, that worship, my life with my Christian brothers and sisters that help me to enter in and sustain a formation process? What does it look like for me to take God's mission in my life seriously in the way that I engage with others that are thirsty to hear about the good news of God's grace in Christ? What about your own lifestyle? What could be adjusted so that this summer perhaps looks a little different from last summer? Our text also gives us a phrase that becomes a sort of like refrain. It's repeated a lot throughout the Psalms. This is the phrase in verse 41, "For his love endures forever." Now, if we could all become some psalmist in here, can we say this like twice in a row together? "For his love endures forever." And again, "For his love endures forever." Why should we lift God higher? Because he loves us. Why is God worthy of all praise? He loves us. He loves you. Why are we gathered here in this space? It's a really beautiful day outside. He loves us. He's worthy. He's demonstrated his love to us again and again and again. We're going to make one more, we're turning together because you promised to help me. We're going to talk about what does it look like to respond to so great a love? What does it look like to live a life in response to God's amazing love? Everything that he's done for us. One of my favorite songs right now that we've been singing in this space is the song Gratitude, which is so much about what can I do? I understand now that God loves me. What do I have to offer? What can I give except a life of gratitude? Of gratitude. Remember our big idea today. Lives that are saved naturally become lives marked by empowered service. That is to say that when God saves you, when he saves me, he commissions us, but he doesn't leave us alone. He empowers us. So he doesn't just call us to service, but he says, I'm actually going to fill you with everything that it's going to take to accomplish that which I'm calling you to. We host My Part Sunday on Pentecost Sunday, because as the people of God, we are commissioned and empowered to live as God's people on God's mission. And for us, that mission starts right here at First Pres. It starts right here. We are thousands of hands joining together to be light and life for the city. We are thousands of hands joining together, and as we join together, this amazing synergy happens. This amazing beauty starts to unfold and bloom. That is God's people working together on God's mission. And one of our tasks is to try to discern, like, what does that look like for each of us? It can look like so many things, but we're going to take a moment to focus on the screens and actually hear from Sarah and Alex on what this looks like for them.
I see God working in the MOPS ministry because we are serving over 60 moms a week. Either it be like sustenance in their stomachs or sustenance in their hearts. We're ministering to the women according to their need. At the very least, we're giving them a safe place to spend their time once a week, and God shows up.
I play in the music ministry team. I play bass every Sunday. I think being disciples of Christ, it's important to be a servant because that's the demonstration that he provides. And I also find that's the theme of the Bible as a whole across New and Old Testament is that sin tends towards I need more for myself, where being more like Christ is trying to give more of yourself so that others can have more.
The church that we were part of in LA, it was like a family. It was very much like do life together. And that's my example of church and church culture. So when we moved here, it was like, we need to find that again. And if we can't find it, we need to help build it. And so I think we can't come into any congregation we're trying to be like, where do we have the bandwidth to serve? Like, where can we do it where it won't be a huge
withdrawal
in our family, but we can feel like we're contributing within what we have. And I think having twins, it's been a very long season of need. We haven't really been able to serve that much just because of our season of need. So to be in a season now where we can see the sun rising on not just needing help, but being able to find areas to serve that fit within our life, that's been really gratifying. It's been really good for my heart.
Instead of like being motivated by shoulds or feeling like I need to, it's the response to the gratitude for God for what he's done to you to want to be able to serve. My question would be a question of motivation, like, are you thankful to God? And how could you maybe express your gratitude towards him in service?
It's a beautiful testimony. I love what Alex shared there at the end of, it's trying to get away from the compulsion of like, oh, I'm doing this because I need to do this, and moving into a posture of, I do this because I'm grateful. I do this as a response of gratitude for what the Lord has done in my life. I absolutely love that. I absolutely agree with that. Theologian Karl Barth put together a couple of sentences that sure have helped me and paints this image of what happens when we really get a sense of the grace of God. It goes like this: grace and gratitude belong together like heaven and earth. Grace evokes gratitude like the voice, an echo. Gratitude follows grace like thunder, lightning. There was a moment in human history when the lightning bolt, hit the human race. And it was Jesus' work on the cross. It was the lightning bolt moment that said, reconciliation is now offered to you. Your sins no longer need to count against you because a perfect sacrifice has been offered on your behalf. And that lightning bolt moment, that moment of grace to all of humanity, all who would believe, generates this response of eternal gratitude from all of God's people, generation after generation after generation, seeing the lightning bolt, seeing what Christ has done for us on the cross, and creating this echo chamber of gratitude where we get to then live and move and have our being as God's ambassadors to go, to fulfill the great commission, to go to the end of the earth. And we don't do that on our own. We do that as the empowered people of God. You know, First Pres may be a dot on the map in comparison to like the global church. Like, praise God, there are thousands of congregations across the earth lifting high the name of Jesus this weekend. But for us, First Pres is not just a dot on the map. It is our place where we come together and we worship and we're nurtured in Christian discipleship. Our kids programming, our student programming, our adult programming, all designed to help us understand and then walk toward what it means to become like Christ. And then as that's happening, to be sent out week after week as the people of God on God's mission. This is our embassy. This is our kingdom embassy that we get to walk out of and be the people of God, echoing a life of gratitude. Lives that are saved naturally become lives marked by empowered service. Pentecost Sunday, for us, My Part Sunday, is a space that we get to discern together, where is God inviting me to serve? So in just a moment, we're gonna have this opportunity to bring this card forward. And it's simply a moment of gratitude. And if you haven't filled it out yet, you can still take one from the seat back. Put your name on it. If you don't have a pen, you could come up anyway if you just want to participate as a congregation saying, I get it. And for some of you, that's going to be serving in the same place that you faithfully served for years. And for others of you, it's stepping into a new space. I think the image is an intersection where what you love to do, your passion, and where the church's need, there's an intersection. I really believe that because I don't think God ever wants us to serve out of mere obligation or there's just no passion around for anything. I think it's really looking at stories like Alex and Sarah's and saying, oh, well, I see that. Like Sarah found a spot where she could come and assist and lead in MOPS and be a blessing to so many. Or where Alex was like, oh, well, I sure love music. I play the bass. Perfect. There's his base right there. We participate together. And we become a church that is on fire, on Pentecostal fire, to carry out the mission of God here in Colorado Springs and to the ends of the earth. Hey, I think that you guys did great. You helped me. Did we stay together? Yes, we did. This is wonderful. Okay. Will you pray with me? Good. God, we are so thankful that we have had these weeks to focus in on what it means to lift you higher, to focus in on what it means to be a people that exalt you above everything else in our lives. We thank you for the pouring out of your Holy Spirit. For the moment when you said, go and fulfill the Great Commission, but do it in the power that I will give you. God, help us to do everything in our life in the power of your Holy Spirit, knowing that we're never meant to be alone, knowing that you're always with us, and that as we walk according to the precepts, the patterns that you have established for us, you have prepared a place of presence and power so that we would know that we walk as your children. So we say thank you for this time in Christ's name, amen.
Once again, we want to thank you for listening to this message. And if you live in the Colorado Springs area, we'd love to have you here on Sunday mornings. To find us online, just search First Pres Colorado Springs.